The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Friday. And if any of you out there happen to think that this is all going to wrap up nicely on November the 8th, you better think again. This is not going to end on the 8th or the 9th or the 10th of November, December, January, February. This could go on for months and months. Take my word for it. We're going to hear why and many of the scenarios from Madeleine Gerwick here in just a minute. But let me point out something that a lot of you are thinking about. We don't have all the data, but the idea of a presidential pardon is being talked about quite a bit. Here's what the rules say. The right to pardon is an authority given to the President of the United States by the U.S. Constitution in Article 2, Section 2. This section specifically reads that the president, quote, shall have power to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses against the United States, except, and this is a big one, in cases of impeachment. Essentially, the only way presidential pardon is restricted by the Constitution is under the circumstance of the sitting president being impeached. Self-pardon is not restricted by law, and under interpretation by the Supreme Court, a president could have the right to pardon himself or herself, not only for crimes he, she has committed, but also for crimes with which he, she has not yet been charged. Pardoning in advance. As of yet, no president has actually pardoned himself or herself for committing crimes or from actions that might later be considered crimes. And there's one other angle to it that we want to remember. Pardons only deal with crimes of a federal nature. Presidential pardons are only for federal offenses and federal laws, not for any state law violations or crimes. Presidential pardons are only for federal offenses, not for state law violations or crimes. The Clinton Foundation is headquartered in New York. If the New York PD issues an arrest warrant and there's a trial and a conviction, the president can't do anything about it. I'll read that one more time. Presidential pardons are only for federal offenses and federal laws, not any state law violations or crimes. Okay. Is this complicated? You bet it is. And we are walking into a morass of potentials that we've never faced before. Madeline, welcome back. How are you?
Oh, doing great. in spite of the craziness that's going on everywhere.
Yeah. It's crazy.
It's been a pretty wild month, hasn't it? I said last month that it was going to be pretty explosive, and it has been.
You did indeed. And I think one of the things that hasn't gotten proper attention yet, because there's just so much, where do you focus?
Is the
clear and present obvious problem of Hillary Clinton's sexual preferences, which open her up for blackmail, and her deviance. There are clear indications that she is a pervert, that there may be photographic or video evidence of she and Huma in bed with an underage girl, and that Hillary has gone to Orgasm Island a few times. So this is
it almost seems to be that all of the major leaders are involved in pedophilia.
They are.
I am suspicious that actually that is the methodology that the cabal uses to keep control on
sure.
these people. Yeah, right? So, you know, probably if that ring were blown open completely, I'm not sure you would have a government anymore.
Well, that's part of the deal, isn't it? That she is threatening, if you screw me, I'll take you all down.
Well, and actually that could be a great gift to the American people. So we should be...
That would be draining the swamp, wouldn't it?
That would be draining the swamp, and that would be a huge gift. Yes, absolutely. So, yes, it is a very big deal that we are entering into. And this particular situation is what I call the first pass of Jupiter square Pluto. Now, Jupiter square Pluto is always a situation in which we have basically power issues, power fights, power struggles. And of course, this is a huge one. And in this particular case, Jupiter is in the sign of Libra, which relates to the justice system, and it relates to the Constitution, and of course to elections. So you have a very big situation going on here, which could of course end up becoming a situation where there's months and months and months of issues that come out of this. Now, we don't finish this until the end of August next year. So
that's what your charts tell you.
Well, that's when that cycle is finished. It happens for the third time near the end of August next year. So it's possible it could extend into early September. It's still in range in early September. But the big brunt of it is finished by the end of August. So this is not going to be a quick solution. And before we go down that road, I think we ought to first back up and get a bigger picture of how this whole entire situation fits into the major changes that are occurring at this time in the world. Because, we're actually in the middle of a 40-year period that started in 2000. It will last until December 2040. And that period is associated with economic and social revolution. So certainly a portion of that is related to the internet and how our economy has changed because of that. But also a good portion of the social situation and being interconnected to each other has led to the ability to tell each other what's really going on when the media is corrupt. So we have a lot of major changes that are occurring within this 40-year period. Now, within that 40-year period, there's a 16-year period that we're right at the middle of. This is Pluto in Capricorn, but before I mention that, I want to go back just a moment and say that the last time we had 40 years of economic and social revolution was between 1047 and 1087. It was a heck of a long time ago. And, you know, that just tells you when there's that long of a period between cycles like that, that something really big is up.
1087. Well, that would include the big Battle of Hastings in 1066 then.
Yes. There was quite a lot going on, but you see the major thing, of course there were a lot of changes happening, but what I'm pointing out is that this is a relatively rare cycle since it hasn't happened for, right, you know, 900 and some years. So right, this is a very long time since we had two of these cycles together, which were Jupiter conjunct Saturn square to Uranus. It happens the second time in December of 2020. And that cycle will last until December 2040. So the second cycle with this Pluto in Capricorn, that happened about 250 years ago, and that was during the American Revolution and the period that led up to the American Revolution. It's associated with the consolidation of power, which we have seen dramatically in the past 8 years. But it's been going on consistently over time, but in the last 8 years, it's become a lot more blatant. And the third major cycle, and of course, it's been 250 years since we had this cycle, and back then, we had what they called mercantilism. And the, you know, mother country, England, told the settlers that, hey, you can't build anything yourself. You have to send your right, your raw materials back to England, and we'll build it for you and send it to you. So there was a lot of crazy stuff that went on then as well. And then the last cycle is this Uranus square Pluto, which is what's really involved in the middle of this election. Now, Uranus square Pluto is a cycle that doesn't occur very often. We last had it during the Great Depression. And we had another form of it, the conjunction of it, where they were together in the mid-60s when we had the big kind of tumultuous stuff that was getting started then. This cycle is associated with revolution. And, of course, we are seeing the second American Revolution. Other countries have had their revolutions. And this election is just a portion of the major changes that are needed during this time period. So I've talked about economic and social revolution for 40 years, power consolidation for 16 years, and this revolutionary cycle lasts roughly about 9 years, from roughly 2010 to early 2019. So this cycle is getting close to the end, and this is the last time we will have a presidential election with these energies. So, at least for quite a long time, and certainly in this particular 40-year period.
Right.
So the major situation here is that people like you and I knew about this stuff 20-plus years ago, and here we are, 20-some years later, and the majority of Americans still haven't woken up.
And no, it's very true, and it's so sad to run across people who honestly think that Hillary Clinton is a viable, reasonable candidate, that
right,
they could be that deluded. That is a testimonial to what the Clintons did the first time they were in the White House, and what did they do? They deregulated the control of the media to allow these major corporations to come in and buy everything up. That's how the media became controlled. It used to be that one company could only own a certain small percentage of all the, you know, newspaper, radio, and TV in a market, like big cities are called markets.
Right.
Well, the Clintons, through the FCC, dropped all those regulations, and these corporations could buy anything, and they came in and bought everything up.
Right.
Now there are just five left and own it all.
Right. Yeah, five or six, that's it. That's the total of it.
I hear both. Now, let me jump to one thing before you go any further.
Okay.
We have spelled out a picture here that portends a lot of grief and certainly anguish, and suggests that Hillary will be in the White House. It also suggests that she will not be a viable president for obvious reasons.
Right.
It also suggests that we need to look at the vice president, and that's Kane. Look at his pedigree, which is dirty as it gets. He's a globalist. They'd love to have him in there. Use her to acquire the White House and put him in.
Right.
My thesis is the globalists are so disgusted with the WikiLeaks deluge and realize that Hillary is too dirty even for them. She makes dead fish smell good. That they're just going to walk away and throw her in the dumpster, let Trump win, and then worry about how they're going to move Pence into the Oval Office. Pence is their boy. He's
right.
Another globalist player.
Right.
Pence is a traitor. He has stabbed Trump in the back four or five times. Shouldn't be there. I call for him to be removed. So there is a possibility, is there not? I want to ask this one question. I'm going to back away after that. That Trump could win because the globalist elite, the Rothschild bankers, have said, okay, let him have it. We'll worry about taking over a little later. And that would also explain why Comey did what he did. I submit that he never would have reopened that investigation unless somebody didn't let him know that that's what was wanted from the movers and shakers of this planet. They wanted him to do that. He would never do that. He'd be dead meat. Messing up their plans?
We don't know.
No, that's true. But what if Trump wins, if they let him win, and somehow the GEM software is defeated or inactivated, if they let him win and he wins, and wins in the Electoral College, and it's a done deal, then pretty much everything takes a different path, doesn't it?
Yes. Now, Trump actually has pretty good cycles for winning the election. It's just that, you know, up to this point, it always looked like they were going to pull election fraud. And since we knew that Trump did not, you know, win any brownie points with the cabal,
but let me suggest this. Sheldon Adelson just popped for $25 million several days ago to Trump and promises a lot more. So what's that?
Interesting.
He's a player.
Right. Trump actually had better cycles for winning the election than Hillary, except that Hillary, we don't know exactly which birth time is correct. And this has always been a challenge for astrologers, because one of those birth times looks like, hey, there's something really great happening and there's something really terrible happening at the same time. And the really terrible stuff is what we call, you know, the rooster's coming home, and you're really caught in whatever you've been seeding and putting out there.
I don't think she was born anyway. I think she was hatched.
Well, whatever. But it's still a birth time, no matter how it happens. But the situation is that we don't know for sure which of the birth times is accurate. And so if the 2:18 a.m. birth chart actually is accurate, then that time would suggest that although she has the potential to win it, it looks like she would lose it, too.
We have two birth certificates for her?
We have two birth times.
Oh.
Okay. So
how does that happen?
Well, if Hillary is a Scorpio, and she wouldn't necessarily want somebody to know her birth time, they're a pretty secretive group. So, as you probably have figured out by now, she's kept a lot of secrets, right? And they're fairly manipulative if they're not on a high level of consciousness. They're master manipulators, if you will, if they're not focused in a high level way. So
you mean that sweet woman is devious?
High consciousness. What?
That sweet woman is devious. Is that what you're trying to tell us?
It would come instinctively with a Scorpio if
she's a killer.
Yeah. There is that problem too. Yes, they have quite a sting, actually. Hillary could, by her cycles, win it and then lose it. Whereas Trump looks like he might win it, but the election day itself looks like he would eventually lose it. So that kind of brings me.
How could he eventually lose it if he wins it? Die?
That could be one possibility. Yeah. Of course, we don't know for certain if Soros was telling the truth when he said that the Electoral College was already set up.
Oh, we don't trust any of those people. Let me say this, please, about the Electoral College. It has been tradition in this country forever that every state but two votes winner take all. All the electors of every state vote winner of that state takes all the electors. There are only two, I forget which two, and they do it on an apportioned basis according to the congressional districts. Whatever the district votes, that elector for that district or electors go along with the decision in that particular congressional district within that state. But we're looking at really all the states, 48 out of 50, I guess, that have tradition to vote winner take all.
Right, but out of 50 states, only 29 have a state law that the electoral
have to
vote.
I understand.
Yeah. So you have 21 states that, you know, can be played with, shall we say.
Bribed, bought off, threatened, etc.
Whatever, yeah. So, and in addition to that, there is no serious consequence if a electoral person doesn't vote what the state.
So no accountability for electors that go rogue. Okay.
Right. Well, no serious. I mean, they might get fined $1,000 or something like that. But obviously, if that were to happen, whoever is paying you a lot more than whatever that fine is.
Well, in this environment, if they go against Trump, I don't think the people are going to take too kindly, and they better hide.
I don't think so either.
They
no.
better hide their addresses. It's too late because
right.
we know who they are. They're named, and I'm telling you. If they don't do what they're traditionally supposed to do, I wouldn't be surprised if some of them had some real serious difficulties. Wouldn't
right.
surprise me at all. Hold on, Madeline. We have to take a pause. We'll come right
okay.
back. Later tonight, David John Oates will be here. In fact, he's going to join us in an hour at 8:30 Pacific, 11:30 Eastern. And he's going to play his latest speech reversals. And he's got a doozy that he called me the other day and played of Hillary Clinton. So don't miss that. David will join us in an hour, back with Madeline after this. Okay, let's get right back to business on this incredibly pivotal Friday night, the day before the election, of course, is Monday, but it seems like it tonight. Go ahead, Madeline. This is very, very interesting. I've never seen so many potentials. Never.
Really, there are a lot of potentials, yeah. So let me tie back just momentarily to all these other cycles that I was telling you about in the beginning, and why is this election happening in the midst of all these changes? You see, basically, we are in the middle of this big period where we're supposed to be making very major changes so that the Earth and our economy can all become sustainable. And they're not sustainable at this point. And so, you know, we're basically on one of those dead-end pathways, if you will, unless we make some major changes. But you cannot make major changes if the people are still asleep. So, this being the last election during the revolutionary energies, the last presidential election, I should say, during these revolutionary energies, we have this election. And it's basically a wake-up call, and Trump has spent really his entire campaign trying to wake up the American public. So, and he basically, I would have to say, he presents himself as a rebel leader. That'd be my definition.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I would call him an heroic rebel leader, because this man he's 70 years old.
Yep.
He has campaigned like a 20-year-old.
Yep.
The vigor, the stamina, the integrity, the power, the strength, the dedication, the devotion. This man loves this country. He has sustained more abuse than any 20 people. And he's
right.
still going.
Oh, yeah, he's still going, yeah. And I think I heard he has 11 stops in the next 3 days or something like that.
It's so, truly astonishing.
Yeah, yeah. So really, we were never going to have what I would call a normal election for this particular election, because the American public has not woken up prior to this. And so you cannot go, we're halfway through the consolidation of power period. So we're kind of at the tipping point where we ought to be getting through these changes so we can get into the rebuilding phase. But here we haven't even done the cleanup, because, you know, we're still run by the cabal and people are totally unaware of it and think that our government is hunky-dory. So you can't clean up a mess that you're not even aware of, you see, that, you know, the cabal wants to keep quiet, unless something major shifts. And so that's why we have this particular election the way it is. Now, I think I told you on the last show that there was a particular research technique or methodology used in astrology that predicted that the Democrats would retain the White House this time and the Republicans would get it in 2020.
Right.
However, one of the things I'm not able to really put astrological pieces together, is that Election Day itself has two cycles that are really like the worst possible possibilities that could ever exist for an election day. One of them is that there's about a 6-hour timeout. Now, a timeout is a period of time when whatever you're doing, nothing comes of it. So if you start something during a timeout, then nothing comes of it. It's not a good time to start something. A lot of people fail in various projects because of that, and they don't realize it. And if you look at my Good Timing Guide, you'll see that there's the top line is red until, which is the timeout, until 1:46 p.m. Pacific time, and which is 4:46 p.m. Eastern time. And then immediately at that point starts an orange line, which shows that there's something falling out. Now, a falling out in astrology is a situation where you are expecting a certain result. You're expecting something to happen. Something is supposed to come together. Everything looks good for it to occur. And then, oops, it doesn't happen. It doesn't occur. It does not come together. So both of these things are happening on Election Day itself, which leads me to believe that no matter what we think is happening, we really don't know. It's not going to be what we expect. So, and whatever we expect is definitely not going to happen. So perhaps...
Does that work on both sides of the ledger? In other words, all bets are off.
All bets are off, yeah. So, you know, up to this point, until now, you know, basically they've been telling us that Hillary's winning, Hillary's winning, Hillary's winning, even though they were oversampled on Democrats, which they didn't hide, by the way, but they always told us that Hillary was winning. So I don't know if this means Hillary is not going to win, even though, you know, the other situation shows that the Democrats would retain the White House. Or, and here's another possibility, or Hillary wins, but she becomes indicted, and so that disqualifies her from being president, and so she's no longer president. So perhaps you have Kane, or depending on when this happens, and there's always the possibility that she could be convinced to stand down prior to the election.
Oh, over her dead body.
Yes, probably would be. She's a Scorpio, remember? So she would not be likely to agree to that, but...
She'll threaten, I'm telling you, you know it, she'll threaten everybody.
I'm sure she will.
She's crazy.
Yeah. Well, that is an instinctive Scorpio response. To take everybody down, you know, get revenge if somebody tries to take her down. So I would not be surprised by that at all. But, you know, her cycles are not very good. Even if you conclude that we don't know the right time for Hillary, we know her day of birth, and we know that on the day of the inauguration, Mars is square her Uranus, and her solar return had Mars square Uranus, which is something unexpected, volatile, and explosive occurring in her life. So it's oftentimes if somebody tries to suppress it, they might have a heart attack, a stroke, a major accident that puts them in the hospital for months. They might, in this case, because it is so volatile, someone could try to assassinate her. That's not an impossibility.
Right.
Although it certainly would not be my preference, but, you know, that would be a possibility.
You know, that's really nice to say. It's politically correct to say that. But I wouldn't care one iota. In fact, I would probably cheer it because I happen to think that the over 500,000 people that woman has directly and indirectly murdered, slaughtered, butchered, and killed during the 8 years of the Clinton no-fly zone over Iraq and what she did to Muammar Gaddafi and the people of Libya, I think capital punishment would be an easy way out for her.
That might be, actually, yeah. And so her cycles are challenging enough for me to believe that if she did get into office, she wouldn't be in for long. I don't even know. When I first looked at her cycles, I wasn't even sure if she would last a month. Certainly, I don't think she would last more than a year, and I'm highly doubtful she could make it that long.
Well, then the other problem with that is, if she does have the power of commander-in-chief, which I don't think she would, but she might, and can impose a no-fly zone in Syria, we have World War III sitting and staring right in our faces.
Well, you do if the Pentagon agrees to her.
And they got a lot of war hawks and neocons around her, lots of them.
Well, and they also have a lot of patriots, too, so you can't be sure how that would go down.
Right.
Remember what I was saying is that you're really looking at what I would call the last vestiges of the revolution. And it's happening right now, and it's happening for the next several months. So November is not as bad as December, January, February, March, and April. Then we get a little bit of a reprieve, and May and June are not so bad. Then July and August are bad again. So, you know, when I look at this whole thing, I'm seeing that there's basically a very big issue, giant issue. So this could be even things like, should we continue to have the Electoral College? I think that's a possibility. Another possibility I could imagine is that perhaps if Hillary did win, there might be evidence presented to the Supreme Court that this election should be considered null and void. I think that is a possibility. Another possibility I could think of is that if Hillary somehow ends up becoming indicted, perhaps before she gets inaugurated, they might, you know, with the evidence of potentially electronic fraud, they might decide that, hey, the Democrats really didn't have a viable or valid candidate, and the Democrats should choose a different candidate and redo the election. So those are all the different scenarios I can think of that are going to take this long period of time to resolve.
Unless Donald Trump wins.
Unless Donald Trump wins, yes.
And we lest we forget, people are murdered all the time, constantly. Judge Antonin Scalia was murdered. So if you think Hillary Clinton couldn't be taken out, think again. Anybody could be taken out. We know there was one attempt that we know about to murder Donald Trump, to assassinate him in Trump Tower. We don't know if there have been other ones. I would suggest there probably had been. He has probably a triple-tier security around him, led by, I'm told, over and over again, some of New York Police Department's finest current and retired hard-ass detectives and professionals. These guys don't mess around. They love Trump. And so he's got fierce protection around him.
He's going to need it for his family, too. Because
there's a big vulnerability.
Yes.
He's exposed all over the place, yeah.
Right. In fact, I just heard recently that Putin does, you know, nobody knows who's you know, Putin's wife and kids are. And they have different names, and they're hidden in places.
As it should be. He's a smart man.
And that is why he's able to get the cabal out of Russia. So Putin was very smart and strategic about that. But if you look, I mean, everybody knows who Donald Trump's family is. And so they would become targets right away if he won. And I don't know, you know, so there is a big, giant power issue, no matter who wins, because essentially this time period is set up so that we can figure out who the cabal are and get rid of them.
Yeah, good luck on that. That's a toughie. I mean, they own the very fabric of this planet.
Hillary might give us a great gift.
That would be nice.
It would be nice, yes. So we can hope that she takes them all down. That would be great. And
tough to do, though, dear, when they own the media, so the people only hear about what they're told and how they're told. So, yeah.
That's true.
You need access to inform the public for any truly revolutionary event in the positive sense to happen. You've got to have the media. You've got to have access. And if you don't, doesn't matter what happens.
I think what you might see happen, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm just speculating, is that you have a number of media people who are fed up with what they see going on, and journalists who are very distraught about what's happened to their
You bet there are. That's why I quit television news. I could see when the Clintons deregulated it, goodbye.
Yep.
I quit even before that. I could see where it was going.
But you see, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. There are a number of people who are there now who may desert. And as they desert, you see, then other people will find them in places, you know. So, you know, I'm just saying the revolution isn't just the FBI or the CIA or the NSA or whatever. It will eventually get bigger. And you had Cryon, Lee Carroll, who channels Cryon on, I think in March of this year with me.
Uh-huh.
And Cryon once said that it will come to the point where every person on the planet will have to choose between the light and the dark.
Right.
And I think we're probably heading into that time period.
Oh, I agree.
You see, yeah. So it's going to be a very long battle. This is not going to be quick. And even if Trump wins, he's going to have his own challenges to deal with.
Oh, of course he is. Absolutely. Rat Ryan, the Speaker of the House, just for one.
Right.
I mean, look, he could bottle up anything in there. And I don't
right.
know how far he can go. We've seen Obama in a quasi-dictatorial pose using executive orders to do pretty much what he wants to a large degree. So the precedent has been set for executive order administrations. We'll see. We will see.
Right. Right. Yeah, so November has, it's not as tumultuous as last month, although the first 2 weeks still have the energies of the new moon, which were fairly tumultuous on the, I think that was the 28th or the 30th, I think, and so... And that had Mars square Uranus in it, which is that very volatile, explosive energy. And we've just been watching every day another explosion, another one, another one, another one. So once we're past the first part of the month and we get to the full moon on the 19th, I mean on the 14th, we still have, you know, the big issue about power plays that's still there, but it's not as intense as it will be in December, which makes me think there's something going on with the Electoral College, and that's why I thought
it could
perhaps
also be the courts.
Oh, I suppose it is possible. Yeah,
now the electors, to me the Electoral College, if those people, the electors, step out of line bucking history, tradition, I would suggest that the Trump people are going to go after every one of them and examine them with a fine-tooth comb, looking for income, assets, change in status, to see if they've been bribed, blackmailed. These people are going to be under a microscope if they screw up. A lot of them are going to have to screw up because the blue states are leaning red now. A lot of them have gone red, and that's going to change. I only wish the New York Police Department knows what Wiener had on his laptop. They know. They've got him.
Right.
And
right.
They threatened the FBI. If you don't release these emails, and I submit that there are photographs in there as well, very compromising.
Probably.
Yeah.
Right.
We will. One chief in the department said, I'll release them. I'll give them to WikiLeaks. I will give them to Julian Assange.
Right.
These are going to go public.
Right.
So I would suggest to that chief, I don't think he's listening, but I would suggest that those, at least some of them, be released now.
Right.
Not next week after the election. Release them
right.
now.
Right.
Even if it's five of them. Even if it's just one picture with Hillary, Huma, and a Girl Scout. Release it.
Right, right. Right, yeah, it would be better if it was released now, that's for sure. And of course there's the, you know, just the whole timing of the thing is so awkward in terms of when this stuff was coming out to begin with, because I think Julian Assange didn't even start releasing the stuff until after the 10th of October, right?
Correct. Yeah, I believe that was the date. He's late, but that's okay. The pace, people are so quickly desensitized to things now. Holding
right.
them off till later, I think, was a smart move, especially with the volume of material. too much. They did this 2 months ago. People would, you know how the game is played. When the media never talks about it, it doesn't exist.
Right, right, right. Well, I think, though, that, you know, somehow, if you're going to have some kind of coup from, or counter coup, as Steve Pachesnik said, you know, with the intelligence community, then somehow you've got to have somebody who's in possibly the Department of Justice who will arrest Loretta Lynch or indict Loretta Lynch at least and start a grand jury for all of them.
Well, see, she could be pardoned, federal laws.
Right.
So I look back at Mark Rich. By the way, Pachesnik, I think that was, it sure didn't sell me. I listened to the man's words. I watched him in a half an hour telephone interview with InfoWars.
Yeah, I watched that too.
Okay, I wrote down some of the things he said. And they talk about counter coup is underway. Well, what does that suggest to most people? That something is going on right now, and maybe by tomorrow or the next day, something big is going to happen. Well, that's not at all what he's saying.
Mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm.
at all what he said. What he said was that basically, first of all, what a wonderful girl Chelsea is, and he wouldn't want anything to happen to her. That made me vomit, figuratively. And then he said basically that Hillary was going to win, and here's the quote. Now, does this sound like a counter coup to you? Gradually, we will take away every political power she has. What the hell is that?
Yeah, I wondered about that. I didn't.
You
got to
judge somebody by the words,
the
words they say.
Right.
And he also said, "We are warning them now that we will go after them." Not, he didn't say we are.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
I wrote these down. Then
right.
he said, this is a warning to them. I repeat, gradually we will take away every political power she has. What the hell does that mean? Over the next 2 or 3 years, they're going to try to strip her of power?
Maybe over the next 2 or 3 months.
Well,
or
whatever.
Maybe over the next 7 months, or, you know,
it doesn't
until
sound
that
like
Jupiter.
A counter coup to me. It sounds like wishful thinking. It sounds like misdirection. It sounds like, well, if people are doing this, well, I don't need to get involved and worried so much. You see? It's disarming
see. Yes.
people.
Ah. Right.
It's taking away the urgency that many people feel that they have to be active and do something. Well, a counter coup is underway. I don't have to do much. We can just
right.
sit here and cheer it. I view that as disinformation. I know it's not popular to do, but I always tell like I see it, and that's how I see it. When somebody says, gradually we will take away every political power she has, and then we are warning them now that we will go after them. Not we are.
Right.
So,
right.
Again, it's in the words. You got to listen to the words. So I don't buy it.
Well, it's good that we had this discussion because, you know, I had missed that.
Well, go back and listen to the words. Write some of them down, what he says.
Right.
And look at his hand. His abs is shaking like a leaf. I'm wondering if he has Parkinson's, holding that phone. He was shaking. I don't know what that means. Maybe he's just prone to being nervous, but with his background, you'd think he wouldn't be.
Right.
I didn't buy it. I don't buy it. I didn't buy it, and I will not buy it. The words are not there.
Yeah, well, I guess we will see, because we still have that crazy situation on Election Day itself where either nothing is coming of it or what you're expecting to happen is not happening.
Well, let's stay in touch. Give me a call or let me know. We'll talk on Election Day and let's see what's the time frame again for that, the timeout?
The timeout happens during the day. And the
Eastern or Western?
Both. During the Pacific time, it it lasts until 1:46 p.m., and then it's a falling out. During on Eastern time zone, that timeout lasts until 4:46 p.m., and then it's a falling out. So it doesn't matter which time zone you're in exactly. You're either in a timeout or a falling out. So.
All right. Okay, yeah, very good. All right, we have to take a little break here. Okay. Bottom of the next half hour, David Oates will be here. We usually take calls our second hour. We don't have much time tonight. Do you have more to do? Do we want to take a couple calls?
I do have a little bit I would like to talk about before we take calls,
if we
or if
take
we have
one,
time for.
We might take a couple calls, maybe not, but we'll see. We'll do our best. So we have to take a break right now, and we'll be right back.